the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. There is so much chaos surrounding the tariffs that U.S. President Donald Trump is imposing on Canada and other countries that it's hard to keep up with what's been slapped with a tariff and what hasn't, or how much those tariffs might be. So today I'm talking with London Free Press business reporter Norman DeBono about the U.S. tariffs on Canadian automakers and how that's impacting the London region. Hey, Norm, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good, good, good. Well, we're happy to have you on to kind of explain some of this stuff, at least what's happening today at the time of this recording, because as we know, things are changing, you know, daily, right, even hourly. So as of right now, you and I talking, what tariffs do we actually have on vehicles right now, today?
So right now, today, we have vehicles being shipped from Canada into the United States for sale. And we have a lot of automakers in Ontario here who make vehicles for sale. They're being exported into the United States, and vehicles are being hit with a 25% tariff as of today. Now, if you go to a dealership lot in Michigan or Ohio, you're not going to see that yet because there's on the lot right now. Analysts believe that it'll take 1 to 2 months before that inventory is sold, it's cleared out, and the tariff vehicles move in to sort of replace them. So in a month, you're going to be able to go to a lot in Detroit or anywhere in the U.S. and suddenly you're going to see that same vehicle you could have bought last month for much less. It's going to be anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 more, depending on the vehicle that you're buying. And those are tariff vehicles. Now those are just Canadian-made vehicles going into the U.S. So there are additional tariffs on vehicles coming from Asia, Korea, and Japan specifically, into the U.S. from Europe, Germany specifically, into the U.S. Now, this is where it gets kind of complicated if you want to talk about. But the tariffs are in effect now from Canada to the U.S. to answer your initial question.
Okay.
But it's really not 25%. So we have something called the USMCA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement. We have the USMCA, also called CUSMA, in effect right now. And the trade agreement tries to acknowledge that, or the tariffs try to acknowledge that. And it states that if a vehicle made in Canada uses parts from the U.S., the tariff will be discounted. So if it uses 50% U.S.-made parts, the tariff will be 12.5%, not 25%. Turns out that, so it's different for every vehicle, for every automaker.
Yeah.
And we have you know, GM, Stellantis, from Chrysler, Ford, Honda, and Toyota, all making vehicles here in Ontario. So it's different for every vehicle. But across the board, an average would suggest the average tariff price for a Canadian vehicle being sold in the U.S. is about 12.5%. It's about 50%.
Okay.
Some are higher, some are lower, but that's kind of the ballpark that analysts are working with right now.
So those are vehicles going from Canada to the U.S.
for sale, correct?
But vehicles
coming from Europe and Asia into the U.S. is a full 25% tariff. So our vehicles, even tariff, will be cheaper than those. But they'll be much more expensive than vehicles manufactured in the U.S.
Sure.
Created in the U.S. So as for vehicles, we are getting in here. So you're asking now about vehicles coming from the
United States? Yes, vehicles from the States
Canada.
to Canada.
So we have announced counter tariffs of 25% also on vehicles coming from the U.S. into Canada. So the counter tariff measures are in effect now. And again, it's going to be a little while before you see them sort of fill in the place on the lots after vehicles are sold. But yes, vehicles being sold in Canada from the U.S. are counter-tariffed right now.
So do we know how much more we're going to pay on those vehicles? Is it discounted based on the auto parts made here versus made in the U.S. for Canadians?
Yeah, so there is a discount on the parts. If a vehicle is made in Canada, has U.S.-made parts in it, it will be discounted. The tariff will be discounted. And like I said, so that discount, that tariff is coming in generally considered about 12.5% for most vehicles.
Yeah. Okay. So if somebody was going to go to a lot now, maybe you need a new car right now, which is, of course, not great timing.
Buy it now.
Yeah. Buy it now.
So if you are interested in buying a vehicle, now's a good time because in a month to 2 months, the tariff vehicles are going to be on the lot and they're going to be taking the place So we're going to see a significant savings on vehicles now if you're in the market. Or it's also going to mean a boom to the used car market. Used car market is going to be very strong because they're not tariffed. But of course, auto dealers are going to say, hey, there's demand for my used vehicles. They're going to raise the price because that's just the market.
Supply
So
and demand.
I mean, there are two, I think there are two things you're asking about here. Manufacturing, making the vehicles, and retail, the selling of the vehicles. So it shows you how broad-based the tariffs are, that they're really impacting significantly both those areas.
Okay, can you, talking about manufacturing, just explain the complex supply chain process and how that works with auto parts? You know, they go back and forth across the Canada-US border several times.
Yes.
How does that work?
So we were just talking about vehicle manufacturing, vehicle sales on both sides of the border. So auto parts is a huge industry in Canada and the United States. And it is, and Canada, the US, and Mexico has a highly integrated supply chain system where they a part made in Mexico will go to a vehicle in the US, or will go to a part in the US, that part will come back to Canada. That part from Canada will then go back to a vehicle being manufactured in the US, and then it will go to see how dealership lots in Canada, the US, and Mexico. So it's highly integrated. It's very, very coordinated. It's very deliberate. The auto industry created that structure because it works so well. You can't make, contrary to popular opinion in the White House, you can't make everything in one spot. You just can't do it. It's just not possible. We're not structured that way as an economy. And the auto parts are a good example of how integrated economies and integrated supply chain really works. You know, I did one story about how some auto parts go back and forth the borders, the three borders, seven, eight times before they hit the before it goes into a vehicle and that vehicle goes for sale. Classic example of this would be transmissions. So the casting for the transmission will be done at casting plants in Mexico. Then it will go to the United States for finishing. Then that transmission will come to Canada to have parts added to it to make it function as a transmission, then go back to the US for inclusion in a vehicle, and then it will go to Canada, the US and Mexico for sale in a vehicle. Oh, it'll be installed in a vehicle here and in the US before it hits the dealership lots. So it's like, it's just crazy. So in a, and I talked to one London auto parts maker who makes silicone products. Silicone, very small silicone products that go into everything in a vehicle. Like he made a waterproof housing for electrical systems. Goes into virtually every vehicle in North America. So, but he will ship that small silicone case to the United States for inclusion in an electrical system. That system will then go to a plant in Mexico or in Canada for inclusion into a drivetrain or a powertrain system that will then be included on different vehicles. So it really works. It's
Very
worked well.
complex. Are
And
there
the
any
auto industry has
vehicles?
created that. And now it's kind of being blown up. And it's no surprise that the CEOs of all three Detroit automakers, Stellantis, Ford, and GM, have been on the phone to the White House, and it's been widely reported, saying, this is going to work. Tariffs are really hurting us. This is going to damage the American industry as much as the Canadian, because it's going to cause layoffs and unemployment in the US and Canada, and it's going to drive up the price of vehicles and of parts.
Are there
Now,
any vehicles that are 100% fully manufactured, all parts in the US, in Canada, like anything 100% made in one country?
that's a very good question. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know.
It's hard to
That
find
would be
anyway. If
with
you
vehicles
haven't
in,
come across
well,
that,
in
I
the US, they're going to be the vehicle won't see an export tariff in the US. So the vehicle manufactured in the US won't be hit with a 25% or a 12.5% tariff. Some of the parts might be tariffed if they're coming in from Canada, but
Okay.
that's going to be a small hit compared to this. So
Sure.
if a vehicle is manufactured in the US and it's sold in the US, it's not going to see a significant price change.
Right.
Well, and that's true of Canada too. So a RAV4 made at the Woodstock plant in Woodstock, when it goes for sale in London, it's not going to see a significant increase because it's not hitting it. Its parts will be tariffed somewhat,
Right.
but the vehicle itself won't be subject to a 12.5 or 25% tariff.
Okay.
So Canadian-made
Interesting.
vehicles will be a good value in Canada. A
Okay.
US import, not so much. But we really care. We don't care about the retail market so much. We care about manufacturing because there are 40 to 50,000 people in southwestern Ontario employed in manufacturing. 20,000 of those are in the auto sector specifically. And analysts have sort of forecast that once tariffs come into full effect, it'll take about 6 to 8 weeks for this to really filter down. We could lose 10,000 jobs in southwestern Ontario. That's the fear. That's the
Well, let's get into that a little bit more. Have we lost any jobs yet due to tariffs in the manufacturing sector?
Not yet. I mean, we're only a week into it. So, well, I mean, the Stellantis plant, that's not true. The Stellantis plant in Windsor has announced a two-week shutdown. So that they make the Pacifica and a Chrysler minivan. So they're shut down for 2 weeks. They're trying to get their ducks in a row. Stellantis, formerly Chrysler, has also announced a pause on a retooling of its plant in Brampton. It was retooling to make the Jeep Compass, high-volume vehicle. It has now paused that retooling because they're reviewing their operations because of the result of tariffs. So if they end up not making that vehicle, that's a significant job loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, the automakers that are in production right now in London area, that's Cammy and Ingersoll and Volkswagen Toyota in Woodstock and Cambridge, have not announced a slowdown yet, but it's anticipated that will come. Mm-hmm. And smaller auto parts makers, we're not hearing much yet, but we know that small independent auto parts makers, mom and pop shops that employed 40, 50 people, we could be having some effect then. We don't really hear about it. We haven't heard it yet, but it may have come into effect already. We just don't know for certain yet.
Do we anticipate any like line shutdowns versus perhaps like a whole plant company shutdowns?
Yeah, I would anticipate plants are going to shut down. So, and the CEOs of car corporations, auto parts makers like Linamar, Ford, have all said we're going to have to shut our plants down because they'll keep it going for a few weeks until the tariff thing is sort of sorted out. But then if vehicles aren't selling, they will not make vehicles that do not sell. It's not done in the industry. It's just-in-time delivery. So they're not going to have vehicles sitting on lots if they can avoid it. And
right.
They can't. So if inventory starts to build up, they'll shut down the plant for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So just a short-term shutdown. But what about full plant closures? Are we expecting any of that? We don't know yet.
I would say so. I mean, if that plant is making some vehicles for the Canadian market or for export to other countries, then it will mm-hmm. still continue to make those vehicles. So it won't shut down completely. Like the BrightDrop, for example, van is made at the Cammy plant in Ingersoll.
Right.
It's an EV vehicle. I know they have a contract with businesses in Canada, FedEx, for example. They're supplying vans for FedEx in Canada. They're still going to have to make those vans. But if sales in the U.S. slow down, they're going to have to sort of shut down part of the plant or have some layoffs to sort of accommodate that slowdown in production. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be a plant shutdown together because they're still going to make vehicles for markets that are not tariffed, like Canada. But the U.S. is a significant market. It's about 25% of all vehicle sales globally. It happens in the United States. It's $16 million vehicle sales annually. So if we lose the U.S. market, it's going to have a serious impact here.
Big hit. Yeah. Okay, let's talk more about the Cammy plant and the electric vans that they make there. Canadian corporations are being encouraged to purchase from Cammy. So can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah.
Who's being encouraged?
So the Cammy plant is represented by Unifor, the national union. And Unifor, the president of Unifor, President, a woman named Lana Payne, she has been lobbying the federal provincial governments and crown corporations, even municipalities, to say, look, if you need a vehicle purchase, a van purchase, buy these vehicles. So it's made in Canada, by Canadian. And coincidentally, Canada Post is in the midst of upgrading its fleet. There's $1 billion allocated to upgrading its fleet, and they want to go EV, which is what is made in Cammy. So that's a fit. So I think those talks are ongoing now. BrightDrop, there are two BrightDrop vans made, a very large one, which wouldn't be appropriate for Canada Post, but a smaller one, which would be. So I've been told those talks are ongoing, and I've been told off the record by some union officials that they've been going quite well. They're quite confident that they're going to get an order. So that's really good news. And they need it. But there's a lot of commercial traffic purchased by crown corporations and the federal government and provincial governments as well. So if Cammy can snag some of that business, it will really help it in the short term get over this tariff issue.
Stay afloat, yeah.
Can I talk for a moment about the tariff impact on Cammy specifically? Because they make a very large EV van called the BrightDrop 600.
Right.
It's very expensive. It costs about more than $70,000 in the U.S. for a fleet to buy this van. But it costs that because it has a very good range for like 400-mile range or 400-kilometer range, which is quite extensive for a cargo van.
Mm-hmm.
And it's has a lot of features that other vans do not. But when we did an analysis of the tariff breakdown on that van, tariffs will add $15,000 to $20,000 to the price of a BrightDrop van.
Wow.
So that $75,000 van could cost $90,000 to $100,000 US. And
Wow.
it's competing against the Ford E-Transit van, which is about $60,000, but it's much smaller and it doesn't have the range. But it's also manufactured in the US, so it's not tariff. So the tariffs have put BrightDrop and Cammy at a significant competitive disadvantage competing in the American market. And as a result of that, GM is offering significant rebates. They're offering incentives to industry commercial clients to buy the BrightDrop van. And it could
In
be
Canada and the US?
in the
Okay.
US specifically. So GM is trying to incentivize buyers in the US. They're offering incentives to try to get over that gap. I think it's up to like a $20,000 incentive, $24,000 incentive. So hopefully that works and that keeps them in the games. But I know there's concern there about how tariffs are going to impact that operation specifically. And Toyota in Woodstock and Cambridge, they have two plants there. They make the RAV4 in Woodstock. They make three different kinds of Lexus SUVs, the NX200, the 350, and the 500, all in Cambridge, high-end vehicles. So the RAV4 is going to be about a $7,000 to $8,000 tariff impact on the RAV4. It's a lot of money for a RAV4. The Lexus luxury vehicles are going to see a significant impact of about $12,000 per vehicle. And that's because they use a lot of parts made in Japan and in Ontario. They don't rely a lot on US parts. So the impact there is going to be significant. And they make Toyota in Ontario in 2024 made about 500,000 vehicles, more than 500,000 vehicles. They employ 8,500 people. So there's a lot of, we're watching that closely. There's a lot of concern about how that's going to.
Do we anticipate layoffs there at the
Well,
Toyota plants?
Toyota has a culture like many Japanese automakers that they don't do layoffs. If there's not work, they keep people employed and they clean the plant and they do other jobs. So they don't really have a layoff culture. But I would not be surprised if we saw some staff reductions there. But we don't know yet. I mean, they're not selling vehicles. They got to do something.
Unifor, speaking of Cammy, has been pushing for procurement dollars to purchase Canadian-made vehicles. Can you just explain what are procurement dollars? What does that mean?
Just basically means that Unifor, the union, is meeting with members of the federal and provincial governments and saying, if you're in the market for a vehicle, consider a Canadian vehicle. And they're always in the market for vehicles. So are municipalities. The City of London buys vehicles all the time. So if they're in the market for a commercial van, which they are, buy a BrightDrop out of Cammy. If they need an SUV, consider the RAV4 out of Toyota. Or if they need a van, maybe something from the Stellantis plant in Windsor in terms of the minivan or the Pacifica. And of course, Brampton's closed right now. GM makes a Silverado pickup truck at the GM plant in Oshawa. And a lot of pickup trucks are used by municipalities in their daily business. So that's what they're doing. And like I said, I understand they're being met with a favorable response, but I don't think anyone's put an order in yet, but we'll see.
What kind of changes are we making here in Canada? I know it's early, but are we looking at changes? What kind of changes are we looking at to
Yeah.
maybe not rely so much on the US market?
We really are. And I think it happened right away, and it's not too soon. These conversations are happening right now. They were happening literally days after the tariff discussion began between Washington and Ottawa. So there are two initiatives coming from the federal government, which are really critical right now, and I understand are being met with some success. One is dropping interprovincial trade barriers. As of today, there is significant barriers. If you make a beer in London, Ontario, you can't sell it in Alberta. Or you make cheese and you make food products or you make a product, there's significant barriers to sending that product or even shipping that product across the country. The reason is because the province has built up protective systems to protect their own markets. And the reason why that was in place, I've written about this, when I pushed as to why this was in place, one person said to me quite bluntly, well, we didn't really need to send beer to Alberta if you're in London. Send it to the US, it's closer, it's a better market, and it has more money. So there was no need really drop trade barriers, and they came up years ago, decades ago, when that was more of a concern. Protectionism was more of a concern. Now it's not. So those barriers are dropping. They have been dropping. They will continue to drop, and it's going to see the freer trade of goods between markets in Canada, especially critical in the food sector and the energy sector. As sort of now that I know that there's talk about getting more energy exports from Alberta into Ontario. And to Eastern Canada. So we'll see how that plays out. But the second critical initiative is other markets. So right after he became prime minister, Carney, flew off to Europe, and that, met with some criticism. Oh, he should have stayed home. No, he did the right thing because what he had to do was say, we're going to be in a trade war with the US. We have to divest our markets away from the US And Europe is the EU, which we have a good working relationship with. They are like-minded. Carney has said that, and he's quite right. Same values as we do, even more than the US. And of course, we're a member of NATO. We want to open more trade routes between the European Union and Canada. So he is laying the foundation for that. It's met with some success. Europe, Germany, Great Britain are very amenable to that. So there have been good talks in place, and that is in play right now. So in order to get over the US market, or to recover from that, we're trading with ourselves better, we're dropping into provincial trade barriers, and we're making greater access of the European market.
Sure.
And those are two formulas that are going to take time before they take root. It's going to be a tough year or two, but I think we're going to be okay, and I think we're going to grow on that, and I think we're going to be able to do it. There's also talk that we're deepening ties with Asian markets, because Asian markets are very concerned about what's happening right now with the U.S. So they have been. There have been a trade war going on between China and Canada. That may, in fact, ease now that we're sort of in the market for. Well, we're in the market for new markets.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's happening as well. So yeah, we've been very active. It's been very busy. It shows some signs of success, but it's gonna take time.
Yeah.
It's also going to be expensive because the EU and NATO have said that Canada has to increase its defense spending. I mean, they want us to come up 5% of GDP. Right now, we're about 1.5%. So they're quite right, though. I mean, we should pay more for our NATO bill. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. We've been a bit lazy in that area. So we are going to increase spending in that area. We're going to bring it up soon to about 3% by 2030 is the forecast. That's going to cost us about $20 billion more in military spending. But given what's happening now in Eastern Europe, Ukraine and Russia, and now with the U.S. Being hostile, I don't think anyone's sort of... I think that's a necessary move.
Sure.
The U.S. is also, we're also reviewing the purchase of F-35 fighter jets that we purchased from the U.S. But now I think there's a review ongoing of that, and that may in fact change.
Right. Lots of moving parts and lots of different markets to enter. Okay, finally, do we know how long are these tariffs actually going to last? I mean, things are changing every single day. Is this something that is going to be forever?
So in 2018, last time we had Trump in office, he initiated steel and aluminum tariffs right off the bat, countermeasured on that. And those tariffs lasted a year before they were lifted. So some would suggest that, we don't really know how long these tariffs are going to last. The 25% with the 12.5% break. We don't really know. And there's a wild card in the White House. So there's no way of really predicting that. But a lot of analysts have suggested, can help agree that we're going to reopen the USMCA, which is a free trade agreement between the US, Canada, and Mexico. It's scheduled for reopening in 2026. In fact, after the federal election here in Canada, we may get an early reopener of that, and we're going to sit down and renegotiate the trade agreement between the three countries. The results of that are going to dictate, I think, what happens in tariffs. So there's a lot of speculation that the US is after more natural resources, especially mineral and precious metals that are critical to battery development for vehicles, cell phones, laptops. And also, there's now a trade restriction going on between China and the US. China now supplies that for the global market. China is now restricting trade of those precious metals and minerals to the United States because they're in a trade war. They're banning that trade. That's really going to hurt. So don't be surprised if the U.S. goes hard after our precious metals and minerals and our freshwater supplies. And then after that, we'll see where this goes. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we're in a lighter tariff situation or significantly reduced tariffs in 6 months to a year. We're going to have a tough year, you know. Settle in. And it's so funny because, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people about this and everyone was saying, man, we had COVID from 20 to 22 for 3 years. 2024, 25, we really thought we were out of the whole COVID thing and our markets were recovering. You know, there was employment growth, inflation was down, interest rates were reasonable, the housing market is strong, employment growth strong, trade was strong. The U.S., I mean, at the end of President Biden's administration, they had, I think, a 3% inflation rate. They had a 4% unemployment rate. They had economic growth. The markets were up pretty steadily. And it's all been blown up in literally weeks of Trump's presidency. So it can turn very quickly. And hopefully it can come back quickly, but I doubt it.
Hopefully
but
we'll see some stability.
We're going to have a tough year or two. Settle in. And
we will.
And then hopefully if we can divest markets, if we can build markets in Europe and Asia and between ourselves, we'll be the better off for it. If we spend a little more money on military and we can help out our NATO allies better, we are the better for it as a country. This is going to be a painful couple of years, but we'll be the better nation for it coming out of this.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Norm. We've covered a lot today. I'm sure there's going to be so much more coming from you and the local auto sector, and we're going to be watching your stories on all of that at lfpress.com. Thank you, Norm.
Thank you, Rachel. Pleasure.